Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, we've raised the height here of the rush hour. Not only the height, but the IQ level as well. Rhett Biglands and Sam Jacobs filling in the tallest radio combination in the history of the universe. How are you, Sauce?
I'm very well, Biggles. Great to be back again in this beautiful Adelaide day.
I can't believe they brought us back. But anyway, we're filling in well. Plenty happening, though. That's, I think, the main reasons, particularly with the Adelaide Crows. It just rolls on, not only in regards to trade period, but also... Well, coaching staff, all sorts of things happening at the moment.
It is. It's silly season's really underway, and obviously there's no footy or much sport being played at the moment, so everyone loves talking footy.
No, well, there is. Of course, the Redbacks are on fire today.
Yes.
We'll keep a close eye on those scores throughout their match versus Tasmania over in New South Wales to hopefully see Carey make some runs and get a nod from the selectors. That's a big day for him.
It is, but unfortunately, he's already out. Biggles.
Thanks for destroying me.
That's all right, mate. So, Tassie made 315, and last check, the Redbacks are 4 for 123. So, a little bit of work to do, but we'll see what happens in the afternoon.
And for Port Adelaide fans, well, big news around as well, with Tom Rockcliffe having one foot inside Albert and Oval after officially accepting free agency from the Power, and the 27-year-old former captain of the Brisbane Lions was pursued not only by Carlton, where Styx Kernaghan showed him around, but a couple of other clubs real hot after him, but he looked like he's ending up with the Power.
Yeah, it is. It's, a great move for him and the Power. I think Rocky's probably done it tough for a few years up there in Brisbane, decided to go Port over Carlton, so I'm guessing he's liking where Port Adelaide's situated, and hopefully they can have some success in the next few years.
Four-year deal at $650,000.
Bang.
Gee whiz, Port Adelaide. What's going on?
Would you like that at 27?
Yes. I would love that sort of kanga. Hey, we've got some things to give away as well. Not only for the $650,000, but we've got $1,000 to give away a little bit later on the show. The quiz with no name, thanks to Auto Masters. Yesterday, Sauce, how close was old mate from Port Augusta?
It certainly got us up and about here, didn't it? So close. One answer wrong, but we'll have another go today, and hopefully we can send it off today.
And VIP passes to the UBA Adelaide Cup, which is on this Friday night. It'll be a cracking night, as always, out at Angle Park. Get your tickets at grsa.com.au. We're going to have a chat to Robbie Slater. Big game tonight for the qualifying. Well, if it is it's a lead-up game, of course, for the World Cup to hopefully make to Russia. Australia take on Syria in Sydney.
High consequences in it tonight. So the boys... obviously got the 1-1 win away. Now it's time to do our work on local grounds and hopefully get our way onto the World Cup.
And Triple M's very own Warren Treadray is going to join us now. He will have a full book of information in regards to trade period. Day number two, he's going to be locked and loaded with all the guests. And we didn't text drop some bombs. We're going to jump into that a little bit later on as well.
Look forward to it, mate. And obviously, Treadray's will come with his big book. He's the Adelaide-based Damien Barrett at the moment, isn't he? He's everywhere.
Big book and no shoulders.
It's a big show. Stay with us. Rush Hour, Jars and Louis filling in. Biggles and Sauce. Triple M's Rush Hour with Jars and Louis filling in. Rhett Biglands and Crows Ruckman Sam Jacobs.
You can get involved at any stage throughout the day at Triple M Adelaide. Give us your thoughts on Twitter. Of course, we're going to be diving into the world of the Port Adelaide Footy Club as well. Big signing with Tom Rockcliffe just around the corner. But as far as the Adelaide Footy Club's point of view this morning, Taylor Walker spoke for the first time publicly on the Lever dispute, chatting with Ditz this morning on Brekkie Radio. And, it was interesting, your teammate and one of my mates obviously defending his position. Obviously, he spoke about whether or not the decision was right for what he thought was right and where Jake Lever was going and choosing success over salary.
Yeah, it is. It's I guess it's a hard one when Tex comes in here in the morning, gets interviewed. There's always going to be something come of it. So, but you know, the one thing we know about Tex is he's a real passionate Crows man, and I guess that's what we love about him. Is he's a country boy from Broken Hill. He speaks his mind at times, and he's probably had to learn that. And I think if he had his time, he might have changed his choice of words or whatnot.
So he actually meant not to say, because Jimmy Bartel's come back and had a go at him, saying that he's choosing salary over success, but there hasn't been success at the Adelaide Footy Club yet. And Jimmy Bartel said that, you haven't had success there.
No, exactly. And I think, it puts us in the best position possible to get success. Hopefully if we're able to, retain, Jake Lever and Charlie Cameron and these kind of guys. But, at the moment, as mentioned, it is silly season. They love writing articles and commenting on it. And Tex is, he's been voted the most popular captain in the league. So I think if he says something, it's going to make news. So, but he's a passionate man, Tex, and we love him.
If you missed it this morning, here is Tex on Brekkie.
No, I didn't have a crack at him. I was pretty honest because I don't like people leaving our footy club. I was honest that if that was the decision that he wanted to make, then, look, I'm not going to agree with him because I don't like people leaving our footy club. But I don't think I was arrogant, aggressive towards him. I was probably blunt. I said, mate, if that's the decision you want to make, then we're 2 days out from losing grand final. I think our footy club's going in the right direction. And I think it's pretty much him choosing money over success.
You can just hear from Tex's voice there that how passionate he is about the footy club. And, you know, the grand at that stage, you know, when Jake did ring us on the Tuesday morning, it was still very raw. I mean, we'd pretty much just got back to Adelaide from losing a grand final. So, and when, you know, when you got the head skipper, and it's a tough call, and credit to Jake, he did ring up all us guys and let us know the situation. And, you know, some of us are going to be, you know, okay with it. We understand the footy landscape, blokes didn't get offered deals and all that sort of stuff. But as we know, Tex is a passionate man and he's a leader of our footy club. And, you know, he just wanted to let him know. And as he said, he's pretty blunt.
He would have told him, yeah, no doubt, that he was so disappointed. Then Jimmy Bartel's come back and said, well, you haven't had any success yet, boys.
I don't have a problem with what he was saying there at the start, but there's a couple of things about it, choosing success over money. You haven't had success either. You've made a grand final, that's it. Individually, you've been All-Australian captain and you've had some good years, but you haven't had success. So there's no guarantee that you will. There's no guarantees in this game that just because you played in the grand final doesn't mean you're going back and winning it next year. Every year, we even have our premiers who can't even get back into the finals. So where's the guarantee there? And he wants loyalty in a one-way street. He's very happy that Lynch and these sort of guys arrive at the Crows, but no one's allowed to leave.
Intriguing there from Jimmy. Well, I would have thought there was probably more success on the horizon for the Adelaide Footy Club than Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think, not so much that, but I think it just, you know, if we're able to retain Lever, it just would have put us in a better position to hopefully get the success we want and the success we're after. So be it. The decision's been made. The club's going to have to, I guess, work with Melbourne and get the best thing possible from the Adelaide Footy Club.
So how would, obviously, they're trying to ingrain in the club down there at the moment that there is something fresh on the horizon, and it's there's big things happening. Didn't rock up grand final day. Performance wasn't great. Every player there acknowledges that wasn't their best performance. So that trying to obviously get Motlop to the club to replace these guys who are willing to leave, and then ingrain in them that, hey, there's something around the corner. How do you go about that?
Well, I think as a footy club, we've shown that we're a resilient team. And yes, we have had players exit the, I guess, our system. But at the same time, they're all very isolated incidents. You know, without going through too many, they've all, I guess, been handled differently. And yes, we've had some, you know, good inclusions as well with Tommy Lynch and Eddie Betts and Josh Jenkins and these types. And it is a changing landscape that, you know, players are coming in and out. You see a lot of it, especially the Giants are going through it at the moment. They're losing a lot of high-quality players. You know, but that's, as mentioned, that's part and parcel. And that's, I guess, what us players have created. We want, you know, players to be able to move clubs freely and get where they want. And, you know, I don't see there being any problem with Tex being disappointed. You know, it's obviously still very raw, but as a footy club, we'll do the best we can. We'll move on and reload again for next year.
The other thing is that some people behind closed doors wouldn't know what they've done to try and keep Jake Lever as a player or to try and keep him gone above and beyond, whether or not it's a family that's looking after Jake Kelly or the likes, or, you know, a little bit of extra work where people have really encouraged others to stay at the footy club. And that's not known about how far others have gone.
Yeah, and you know, we really got around Jake this year. Obviously, he had a decision to make throughout the whole year, but throughout the whole season, one thing was made clear to him that, you know, regardless of what's happening, that we value him as a team member, and he was in our team and was going to make us better and give us the best chance to get the job done against Richmond. So, absolutely, as we do with all our interstate guys and even our local boys, we give them the environment that we think's going to make them stick around and hopefully be, you know, 10 to 15 year players at our footy club. And you know, we'll look to do that with the more players. And, you know, Jake's not going to be the last one to leave, and he's certainly not the first.
I mentioned Jake Kelly before, obviously, because he does live with a family, as Danger did when he got here, and people don't know about those. He still lives with a family, doesn't he, Jake Kelly, which is a bummer.
Yeah, it is. It's actually jokes. A bit of a joke within the boys, but that he's the oldest host family player we've had. So
Jake Lever, who did he live with when he was here?
So he come across and he moved straight in with his now fiancée. So Jess is a little bit old and a little bit mature than, I guess,
who he proposed to on a first-class flight to Europe.
Oh, he's done well there, hasn't he? He's one of my good mates, Jake, and You know, I'll certainly have a stir and have a laugh with him about that going forward.
Stick around. We're going to get into the Rockcliffe scenario, how he eventuated at the Port Adelaide Footy Club. We've got tickets to give away to the Uber Adelaide Cup on Friday night. And Robbie Slater is going to tell us all about the World Cup qualified night.
You got Biggles and Sauce, the Rush Hour, Jars and Louie. Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour, Jars and Louie. While they got the feet up, got Biggles and Sauce on the job.
We have, Timmy. We are holding the fort firm. Hey, big news down at Port Adelaide today. They've got a gun recruit, Sauce.
Very good player.
Brisbane former captain Tom Rockcliffe has signed for 4 years. Well, close to signing. 4 years at 650K. Just 27 years of age, which is a pretty good get for the Power, depending on where he fits in the rotations, because their midfield is so strong at the moment. You play against it, you know, a couple of times a year. Where does he fit?
I guess my initial thought is, you know, they're obviously pretty well stacked in the inside mid department already, obviously with Ollie Wines and Power Pepper really coming on this year. But, you know, Tommy's obviously a pretty versatile player. He can play forward a little bit. He obviously gets lots of the ball as well. So I guess that probably shows that, you know, they're going to look to continue playing Robbie and Chad Ford. But they're obviously got some pretty dangerous small forwards up there now when they're all spending time up there, and their midfield gets stronger again.
It does, because there's a lot going on, and so powerful through the midfield, Port Adelaide. So strong, it is their strength, and obviously their forward line as well has got some pretty good weapons up there. He would have entertained. He went to Carlton as well, Rockcliffe, and had a chat to Stephen Kernahan, and Chris Judd met with the All-Australian midfielder. They showed him around. Port Adelaide won through with, obviously, their history, so Carlton does as well. But Adelaide weren't interested. We spoke to Justin Reid yesterday and said there was no fit for him at the feet of you in the centre bounces. Yep. The big news as well, though, because then you have a look at the players who may be on the outer, and Gus Monfries. We've just had
just
news
retired.
As well.
Yeah, he's just obviously hung up the boots, Gus. He's had a fantastic career. He's, you know, I guess through the back end of his career, he hasn't been able to play the footy he liked, but, you know, he played 200 games there, you know, when he's at 26, 27 years of age. So it shows how good a footballer he was, especially through his years at Essendon when he first come across the Port. So congrats to Gussie on a fantastic career.
He did a pre-season, I think, a couple of weeks at Adelaide before going to Essendon.
Did he? There
and
you go.
He was great to have on board. Ripping lad.
Real character.
And, geez, he got thrown in the fire in the showdown, didn't he? Poor bloke. Hasn't played footy for a year and a half. He gets thrown in a showdown and gets absolutely mauled. Good luck. Poor boy.
Yeah, I know. He's one game for the year for the Power, but as mentioned, we won't let that affect his career. He's obviously been a terrific player and a good character as well.
He has. So terrific to see him have a wonderful career. I'm sure probably had another year in him, I thought, if he didn't have that year off.
Yeah.
It certainly did hurt him. Had a couple of calf injuries. I watched him play a lot of Sandful footy last year. And when he was on the wing and firing, particularly at Woodville Oval last year, he was outstanding. I thought he still had another year to go, but catches up with you pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's you know, interesting when you look at, you know, I guess, Paddy compared to Gussie, and you know, Paddy being a bigger body, he probably relished having the year off. It's probably refueled him. He's come back fresher, and you know, he obviously had a fantastic career. Whereas Gussie, I guess, being a smaller player, likes the continuity, and we saw his body let him down a couple of times late. But it's an interesting one that he's decided to move on.
We're chatting prior about Tex this morning on Brekkie Radio and how this is his first time he's spoken publicly and he's just sort of getting around to being able to brief someone. It's come through on the Twitter feed as well a couple of times in recent weeks since the grand final about his after-match speech and that, which I thought was harsh, versus Cooper from the North Queensland Cowboys, who was gracious in defeat and had he spoke really well. And people were potting Tex in regards to how he spoke, which I thought was pretty harsh. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I'm not a massive rugby fan, but I was across, you know, Cooper's speech. And obviously when you compare Tex to his, you know, a night apart, I guess people were going to have a dig at him. But, you know, it's obviously tough for captains to get up there when, you know, we've put so much effort throughout all the year. The day hasn't gone as planned as we did. But, you know, I thought Tex did, obviously, once again, he showed his passion and his disappointment at not getting the result. And, you know, he's still able to congratulate Richmond. He thanked the sponsors. So I guess it's just everyone handles a little bit differently, Biggles.
Do you prepare a losing speech for a grand final? That's the question.
Nah,
so Gavin Cooper for North Queensland spoke outstanding. He did a really good job off the cuff. Can you prepare a losing speech in a grand final?
I wouldn't think so, because then I guess, you know, leading into the game, you're allowing yourself to think the possibility that you're not going to win. Mm. So I would like to think not. But I saw Cochin got handed a piece of paper just to make sure the sponsors got thanked after
they didn't
after
miss
they won
a beat. They right every you'd write
a winning one, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, bingo! Every sponsor in the universe got a nod. They did it well on the airtime. No, good stuff. Stick around. We'll have a little bit more on Tex. He's going to be joining us later on in the week too, if he can fill your big shoes.
I'm sure he'll give plenty, as he always does.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to dive deeper into the world of football, the real football, soccer as they call it, out in the northern suburbs, because it's a massive game tonight. Australia take on Syria in a World Cup qualifier. And also the Redbacks are in action at the moment, Source. They're over in New South Wales taking on the Tassies.
We were top of the ladder and going beautifully, but today hasn't been our day. A score update, they're 7-157. So still got a lot of work to do, trying to chase down Tassie's 315.
Stick around. Also, the quiz with no name just around the corner, where we give away 1,000 gorillas, thanks to AutoMasters. One question
today,
short
today's
yesterday
the day.
Is the day. We've saved up.
Rush Hour, Triple M. 104.7 at Adelaide's Triple M. You get the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis. Filling in, Biggles and Sauce.
Massive game tonight, ANZ Stadium, as that winding road to Russia continues. The World Cup qualifier with Australia taking on Syria, and this next guest of our Source needs no introduction for Adelaide United
no,
fans.
No, certainly not.
Now, of course, he's a gun and a former Australian player as well. John Cosmina joins us. G'day, Cosy. How are you?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Very well. Great, mate. Thanks for coming on. Well, first of all, the lineup tonight, how they're going to take on Syria, because there's been much debate about how he's... obviously, Ange throws his big guns in early, as he did against Thailand with Timmy Cahill in. Will he start? And what's his next option if it doesn't work out?
Well, Tommy Urich, obviously, if Timmy does start. But, I don't know if Timmy would start. I think he'd probably stick with Tommy Urich. I know he went through a fairly heavy shift in Malaysia last week, and it's only really 5 days ago. And they've had to fly in between, and the pitch was heavy, and the conditions were very humid. But look, and this is purely from a personal perspective, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The only thing I would change is maybe look at Tommy Rogic coming in, but then your midfield worked fairly well the other night also. So, you got to weigh up some pretty tough decisions. And look, Ange probably will make at least one change. It's not in his nature not to shuffle, tinker a little bit. But it doesn't matter who's in and who's out. The fact is that you've got to get a really good team performance tonight, and not rely on any one individual to really be a game breaker. This is about 11 blokes just really knuckling down and rolling their sleeves up if they have to, and get stuck in and get the job done.
We've seen, if we win tonight, there's with all these qualifying games going on, what happens next, and where are we situated in the lead up to the, hopefully another World Cup?
Well, the USA were likely opponents up until the other day when they beat Honduras 4-0. So they look like they will now qualify automatically. So it's going to be Honduras or Panama. And either of those games are going to be fairly tough. The Honduran side had three players that had played something like 270 internationals between them across their back line against the States. Although they did cop four, so maybe that would be a good thing from our perspective. But we've got to get there first. I think you take each opponent as they come. We've been through, I think 20 matches beforehand to get, or 21 to get to this one. It's been a fairly tough road when you go through two groups and have to travel as much as the team do. So, look, I guess being in a sudden death playoff, where even, it's a scores a level after 90 minutes, it goes to extra time and then penalties. So, there's a lot at stake, but it adds to the drama, doesn't it?
Cosy, it's about as clear as the River Torrens water at the moment. Nil all draw takes Australia through.
Well, it's never through. Been clear, has it? Yeah. We've got that, still got that blue-green algae stuff growing in
it. Yeah, you can walk across it if you like to. It's pretty solid. Hey, so a nil all draw takes Australia through to the final playoff. But if we have a goal aggregate, two all draw takes us through as well, or a Syrian win, is that right?
No, a two all draw will take Syria through because... Right. They'll go through on away goals. It'll be equal on goals, but they got two away from home. We got one away from home last week. So that's why one all will be mean extra time.
Gotcha.
Because it's even, Steven, the way goals cancel each other out.
There's been a bit of question around Ange's game plan and his job. What happens with Ange's future, pending results tonight?
Well, if we don't qualify, it's finished. It's as simple as that. He did say that he would either see out the World Cup or the World Cup cycle. If we don't qualify tonight, Ange is no longer the coach. It's cut and dried. And it's fairly simple. And the legacy that he's talked about leaving will be one that will have to be reviewed a lot if we do lose. But look, I don't think we're going to lose. I don't think that's an issue. I think we'll get through this not comfortably. It won't be easy because Syria will make a fight of it. But the thing is, we're in much better conditions. The pitch is a lot better. It's grassy. It's flat. It's quick. The conditions are perfect and there's no humidity. We got back on a chartered flight, you know, almost a half a day earlier than they flew in on a commercial airliner. So the preparation's a lot better. And we haven't been beaten at home since 1981. Touch wood. I know there's always a first time, but I don't think it'll be tonight.
We said that about Thailand, though, going in as favourites, and we should have performed better there. And we had plenty of the ball in that match as well. I was at that game at AAMI Park. But for tonight, does the structure change? We maintain a lot of possession, but our attack up front, how do we go about that?
Look, I think Ange got the balance right. I know that all the talk about his change of tactics, and that's the defensive setup with a back three instead of a back four, and gives you that extra man in midfield, but we weren't getting the balance with the two wider guys tucking in either side. With Josh Risden, who started on Thursday, and Azic Bajic, who also started, they're both fullbacks, and they play in and normally play in a back four, so they understand when to tuck in and when not to. So we weren't caught short. That allowed Matt Leckie to play a little bit further up the pitch where he's most effective. Matt Leckie's a good footballer, but he struggles from a defensive point of view about when to tuck in and when not to, and a whole lot of little nuances about body shape and which way he's standing, and that's where he does get caught out. So I think the balance was a lot better. So from an attacking perspective, I mean, if you leave Tommy Juric in and then maybe give Tommy Rogic a start to play somewhere in that mix as well, you're going to have a fair bit going forward, because I think Matt Leckie did exceptionally well the other night. Robbie Cruz was good on the other side of the pitch as well.
Hey, an early goal is crucial, Cozzy, because it seems to settle the side down. The nerves get built up when things don't go their way early.
Well, that's true, you know, but then you take a goal in the last minute as well if it's a winner, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Look, the thing is that if you want to score, always want to get on the score sheet early and put the opposition on the back foot and make them chase you, because that's when they start making mistakes and that's when they lose shape and discipline. If we can't get that early goal, we've got the ones that have to then maintain shape and discipline and keep your structure as well and keep trying to do the simple things and the things that you do well, keep doing them. Otherwise, you're going to start to change things around and that's when you get yourself in a hole, maybe leave yourself exposed. So an early goal would be great. But like I said, if we can get one in the 89th minute, then that's no big deal as well, as long as it's a winner.
Cozzy, great to have you on. We'll be locked into Fox Sports tonight to listening to the call. All the best. We've got fingers, arms and toes crossed, everything to get Australia across the line.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Cozzy.
Bye. Socceroos clash with Syria tonight at 6:30, live and ad break free during play on Fox Sports 501. It's a Rush Hour, Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. It's a Rush Hour driving you home. Giles and Louis off right now, but you got Biggles and Sauce on the fill-in.
Warren Treadray just around the corner going to tell us how much ink they had to use to get Tom Rockliffe to sign at Port Adelaide. Yesterday, though, Sammy Jacobs, it was quite embarrassing when we had a discussion to find out that you couldn't mow your own lawns. You don't know how to mow your own lawns. And so then you went and got Scott Thompson to mow your own lawns. Have a listen to this, Triple M family. Is it true that Scott Thompson recently mowed your lawns? And this is no reference to better halves. This is in reference to back lawns.
I can confirm that, yes.
He mowed your lawns.
Yes.
How can you not mow your own lawn? You're a country boy.
It's a long story, and I know I'm not going to be able to get my way out of it.
No,
but
at all.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
You're learning to mow a lawn.
There's more to it, Briggles. But yes.
Well, seriously, you don't know how to mow a lawn. And so we've got a couple of tips for you. We've found a few, and this is how you go about it, Sauce. Just have a listen.
Okay, the first thing we need to know about mowing the lawn is we need the right equipment. So we need the lawnmower, the whippersnapper or weed whacker or line trimmer, and finally a blower, a leaf blower. So these are the three main things that we need to successfully mow a lawn.
You got them?
A weed whacker. I do have all them. I'm not sure about a weed whacker, though.
That's what they call Taylor Walker's old man. That,
it's funny about that is that's how Pikey talks to me sometimes.
He reckons
Ruckman need it slowed down, so he saws hollow sauce.
You need a line. Yeah. But not only that, to get Scott Thompson, who has got the ultimate rig of any man out there, whilst your beautiful wife Izzy is sitting on the inside of your lounge room looking at him getting around in his Speedos, it's not a good result. What are you going to do next? Go and get Ryan Gosling to clean your windows? Like, seriously, the bloke's got...
Oh. I wish I could get Tomo on to come in and justify it.
for me. But if there's any grass growers out there that want to ring up, get on board and back me up here, because Cooch grass is different, mate. Yeah. It's different from your Kaikia that you just roll out your rotary mower.
And we don't need any grass growers from Anglevale with a hydroponic style either. Just keep those to yourself. Hey, and you also went and got a building and construction license.
Yep.
You're kidding me. So you can't start a lawnmower, but you have posted on Facebook that you have a certification, Cert 5, I think, in
Cert
building.
Four. Cert 4.
Don't get ahead of myself. You've attempted an apprenticeship, a PE teacher, real estate, a business course, and you've finally got Cert 4. This seems like a job for the boys. How'd you pass this?
Pretty tough, actually. I had a great mate. I had me
cert... Yeah, there we go. How much you paying?
I had me cert four boys at HIA that we worked hard together. And
you worked hard.
Yeah, we did, mate. Every Tuesday night, we're there 5:30 to 8:30, toiling away.
Mate, you couldn't build a sandcastle. This is ridiculous. So you've got a builder's license and you can't even start a lawnmower. What are we in for? Seriously.
I wish I could defend myself, Biggles, but it's not a good look at the moment.
Well, for us out there, get on board at Triple M Adelaide. Hey, another one which has just floated through as well. On our Twitter feed, this is classic. Bryce Gibbs has been photoshopped. Well, he hasn't actually been photoshopped. He's running along Fiji.
He's
going for a trot. Someone has snapped him, and right behind him, have a look at Triple M Adelaide. This is gold. There's a little local, I reckon he is, with a Crows Guernsey on.
You couldn't have scripted that, could you? And he's clearly got no idea as well. He's got the headphones on. He's looking at his watch. And the way Gibbsy runs usually, I would imagine it'd be pretty slow. But
says Bryce Gibbs doing a fitness test for the local Fijian Crows recruiter. So good.
That shows you how far footy clubs are willing to reach, Biggles, to make sure we get the right people in our clubs.
Hashtag eyes everywhere. Hashtag AFL trades. Just sensational.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for our favourite Warren.
Because I'm Warren. Gary Tredray.
Here I am. Get stuff.
makes me laugh every time. Great to have you in, was it? And you have got a full book of ammunition there as well, just to unload and trade week. You're like Damien Barrett. This is where you shred all summer, and then, well, shred all winter, I should say, and then summer you just come out guns blazing.
Well, Saucy's not looking at my guts if he thinks I'm shredding, is he?
We know that.
I wish. Interesting, boys. There's plenty going on, and as we all know, I think this is the most riveting week of footy. I know there's grand final week. I know there's all the bits and pieces and showdown.
But I love the innuendo.
Because everyone just, all the footy fans are a little naive, because we all think that clubs just come walk to trade week and go, what have you got? What have I got? They've been working 12 months in advance. Make no mistake now, clubs have contacted Sloaney for next year already. That's how it works.
Don't you stir the pot.
No. Are you oblivious? As the bloke who normally sits in that chair, Andrew Jarman.
No, I'm...
Clubs move 12 months out. I know it's in the paper, but you want the biggest priority Adelaide needs? Right there. Get Sloan. Done.
Don't you add fuel to the fire.
That'll get done.
It's got to get done. It's got to get done now. That's my point. Has to move now. But some stuff I've heard, and I'm not sure this is true. I know the Crows want 2 first-round picks for Lever. But I heard a report out of Melbourne that the Crows want 2 first-round picks out of Cameron. What
do
you blokes been smoking?
You gotta start.
What's going
somewhere
on down there?
Mate, kick 5 goals in a prelim.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Is that worth what? 2.5 goals?
This is the starting point.
Starting point. Well, how about we actually have a trade week where we walk in and go, you know what? Let's cut the crap.
Hey, hey.
He's worth a second pick. He's in a... Because I can't see any Lever being worth anything more than what's on the table, a first or a second. I know you could go, oh, make them next year's picks because it's a stronger draft.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get 2 first-round picks, I don't think. I just hate how the clubs just throw pies in the sky and everyone goes, are you deluded?
Negotiation, but you'll also have a grain of salt added to that via a lot of player managers who add more salt than what you do on a bucket of hot chips.
Absolutely.
So they will always spice up chicken salt, if you like. But hey, let's get to Tom Rockliffe. This is a big plus for Port Adelaide. Question is, first of all, where do they get 650 from? And how does he fit into the mix?
Well, I don't think he's on 650, but I think it's got a 6 in front of it because that's what he was on at Brisbane. Bear in mind, the Brisbane skipper up there, Beams, is on over 800.
Mm.
He's a bloke that hasn't played consistent high football. And we look at those numbers and it's harsh for everyone in Adelaide driving around listening to Triple M because no one in their own life gets that money.
But that's
what footy is. And the 20% cap rise, that's what happens. People have to pay. And for him to leave, you're going to have to pay him and you probably have to give him security because Carlton's going to come with that offer anyway.
That's my next point is that teams have to pay a certain amount of the cap. So whether you're at the bottom of the ladder or the top of the ladder, you still have to pay guys. So I guess Rockliffe's obviously seen a chance for success. Probably the money's not there. He's getting a bit old. He's probably sees Port on the rise. So Why not?
Well, that's what he's effectively said that over Carlton. He thinks they're more likely, even though the Blues think they're a real chance. The question with that one, boys, throw a little bit of curveball. The Crows said yesterday by Justin Reid, their list manager, they ruled out Gibbs.
On this show.
Do you believe that? And I won't ask you because you can't answer that. Do you believe that?
I normally do believe, Reedy, but I think that the Adelaide Footy Club might have learnt from a couple of issues last year which arose publicly and didn't go down too well, and I still think they might be just sniffing around.
Because there's a lot around to say that that one's not dead in the water because he's still... You know, I think he recently got engaged, Gibbsy, and they've obviously got one little one. As you know, if you have kids, then family is certainly a great help in that situation. I sit there and go, probably the chances of Adelaide getting him have been dampened a bit because if Rockliffe goes to Carlton, he goes there free agent. Brisbane don't match him. They get him for nothing. Compensation from the AFL goes back, and then they can then trade Gibbs for whatever they think is reasonable for Adelaide. So they actually end up with picks after getting like for like. That probably makes a bit of sense, Source.
Yeah, absolutely. And two other players at Port, Jarman Impey and Matty Lobe.
Impey gone, Hawthorne over.
Still contracted, though.
Port have said they'll listen to an offer.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that Port are going to make, you know, if the deal looks good, they'll do the deal. And the offer, boys, is almost $500,000 to go to Hawthorn.
Did the Sanford Grand Final change the minds of a few coaching staff at Port Adelaide from Impey's performance?
Not sure about that. All I know is he's very close to Trengove, and a lot of people in this town were reporting he was going to the Bulldogs. Like, the Bulldogs were interested, but Clarko goes after a target every year. Clarko made contact a long time ago. I'm talking 2 or 3 months ago with the manager. He sees a need for speed in his team. I'm not sure Impey's the exact person for that. But I'm thinking in that situation, they could get a second-round pick. I think that's like for like.
Hold your fire there, Wazza. I know you've got a full mag of bullets. Stick around after the break, and we've got a couple more to get into. In particular, I know you've got a bit more on Jake Lever.
Triple M's Rush Hour, Giles and Louis filling in. Biggles and Sauce and Treaders in studio.
Thanks for sticking around, Wazza. What else have you got for us in that mag of yours?
Well, Jake Lever gets engaged. How much is the Rock at 21 years of age can you spend?
And he was flying business at that time as well.
It was first class.
First class.
What's going on, Biggles? Back in our day, she was cattle all the way.
I would have got the Kangaroo Island Ferry to propose. I reckon I'm first class. My Lord. Now, that's interesting and not something the Adelaide fans really want to hear.
But at the end of the day, I think all this is softening from Melbourne's stance and Adelaide's stance. Finally, we saw some sensible actions from both Josh Marnie, who's a ripping fella, former teammate of mine, and Justin Reid, Adelaide list manager, who came out a little bit, had the chest out. He was going to play a little bit of war with the media. But I feel sorry for the list management guys too. They put more cliches out there than anyone you've ever heard. But also too, every word they speak is microanalyzed to the inch of its life. Mm. So it sounds like that one's probably going to happen, but they're saying a first and a second won't get it done. I think it probably will, or maybe they just put them in different drafts that make it a little bit more enticing.
It's almost like a basketball game, isn't it? You can almost skip the first three quarters and let's just have 2 days of trade week.
Well, if you're Golden State, just keep throwing bombs in from everywhere, all over the joint. Jack Watts, boys. Jack Watts spent over 2 hours at the Cattery today. I just sit there and go, who needs him more in their setup? Because if Motlop's obviously going to go, they want to get Watts in. Port's hoping to get Rockliffe, Motlop and Watts back in. Mm. I don't know if the Cattery's the place for him to play that high half forward role.
Yeah.
So Port plays a fast break, high possession sort of game of footy. And they're looking for that role of what Tom Lynch does to Adelaide. No doubt Tom Lynch is a better footballer right now than Jack Watts, but Jack has potential and is actually looking to be judged on the good thing he does. Beautiful kick inside 50, great decision maker. Yes, his tough stuff's probably never going to be there like a Tommy Logan or some kamikaze that you always see.
Not many are, though.
No, not many are. But I think the Port setup may actually suit him better than the Cattery.
Do you want him? Do you rate him?
If we're going to judge him on, you know, he does jump out the way at times. Mm. He is a beautiful, you know, he's good stuff. If he can bring his good stuff more often than not, and we've all got good and bad things in the way we play a game, I think he'll complement Port Adelaide.
Do you think Port are committed to him as opposed to Geelong?
Yeah, I think they have. Yeah. My understanding is, yeah, and for them is too, if they're going to get those three in, they're on good money. They're not going to get top dollar for all of them. They're going to have to actually go, you know what, if you're coming into this setup, it has to be at this price. And that's what they've always done. You know, Dixon and Ryder, 600 grand now. Everyone said they were poor deals. Cheap.
Now, your former coach and a good friend of mine, Choco Williams, has come out and said publicly that he believes that the Adelaide Football Club is a manufactured football club.
True.
And has no salt to its grain. Realistically, I know he was choosing his words and mincing him and saying with a smile, you often report bad things on the Adelaide Footy Club with a little smile on your face as well.
No, I don't.
You do so, Critters.
No, I don't. I report what is there to report. The fact that I do.
You've got a smile.
He's glowing, isn't he? But what Choco said, if you got what we got, what
you
Choco
followed
said,
West Coast when you were younger.
Yes. And I was a Crows member who supported the opposition.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
These are not manufactured football
clubs. We're not like
clubs.
You, who's had a toe in each camp.
They're not manufactured football clubs.
What Choco has done is he's trying to make a link between a club that's actually come from the SANFL heritage and put together in the AFL. It is. It's been manufactured to come together to recruit.
From a league, from the strongest league outside of the AFL.
To recruiting, it's a longbow chop.
Yeah. Okay, so we're
calm
gathering.
Down. I don't agree with you.
Good.
God, look at you get all sandy and stand up.
Well, I just wanted
stand
to
up for the boys, don't we, Biggles?
Make sure that we're on the same page because I know that there is a lot of steep tradition in the likes of Carlton and Port Adelaide. Adelaide has a strong tradition as well involved in the SANFL and the greatest league outside.
Yeah,
of the
when you're
AFL.
Done, I've got a question for Big Source. Yes. What were you doing entertaining Motlop yesterday at Adelaide? We had the 9 News cameras there, Biggles, and little we know is the tallest bloke on the list is taking him for a tour through the Westlake Centre.
It shows the importance.
Exactly. Just showing a bit of care. Just picked him up and then took him down to Westlakes.
So you did the whole tour?
Oh, I didn't do
where
the whole
was your,
thing.
Where was your coaching staff? They leave it over to you, big man.
I was just on my way to the club from Glenelg. I thought I'd just offer a ride. And
just thought you'd get some airtime. So are you going to get him, or am I old boy's going to get him?
Well, I don't know.
Because I know Marlon and Daniel Motlop are into him like anything to come to Port. Marlon still works there.
He's definitely got the links at Port Adelaide, doesn't he? But I think he'd look
pretty
good.
You got the cash, haven't you?
He'd look pretty good in the crazy.
So it's fair to say when they talk tough on Cameron, and you probably don't know the answer, they're talking tough because if they get Motlop in, they'll get Cameron out. Because that means Adelaide will get a first round pick for Cameron. Not too like they hope. And they'll get Motlop for nothing.
And Crow supporters would say that that's not a bad
That's result. Good business. Mm. But a big hole on your cap because he's wanting on about 600. But bad news, I reckon he's going
won't
to Port.
Be paid
he's going to get 600 grand.
There is no way the LA Footy Club will fork out 600.
They've already offered over 600 grand.
Anyway, they are tighter than anything you can imagine.
Only
anyway.
For the blokes that are there, so say.
Exactly right.
Hey, well done, was it? I reckon you've done an outstanding
Thanks,
job today.
Mate.
Have you got
Sorry
anything
for carrying
more for
you.
Us? I think you've done pretty well.
Thank you.
I was disappointed that you didn't actually back up Choco. But anyway.
No, never, I wasn't going to back him. You only take Choc's good stuff. Alan Scott was right. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad for me. That's your best gag ever. Stick around. Plenty more to come, including a funny story about how Josh Gibson covered up his injury to miss out on the Best and Fairest.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. You got the Rush Hour, Jars and Louie for the drive home. And on the fill-in, Rem Biglands and Crows Ruckman, Sam Jacobs.
Quick update here, Biggles. The Redbacks have unfortunately gone down to Tassie by 129 runs.
Gee whiz.
But importantly, our boy Alex Carey in the lead-up to the Ashes got 41. So he continues his form, but unfortunately weren't able to get the job done today.
Had all of the selectors' eyes on him, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
But that's not a bad knock. Unfortunate, though. Not a good result.
No.
Hey, the Hawthorn Best and Fairest, as we mentioned prior, it was only a few days ago, and Tommy Mitchell took it out for the Peter Crimmins Medal, the Best and Fairest for 2017. Alistair Clarkson got on stage, and one man who was missing was their two-time winner, Josh Gibson, and was missing for all the wrong reasons.
He's not here tonight, by the way, which is a bit disappointing. He's riding a horse this morning. He's ripped an adductor off the bone, would you believe? So he's got a bit of swelling around the nether region, which is a little bit uncomfortable. So he hasn't been able to attend tonight, which is unfortunate.
Riding a horse, first of all. Now, let's think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Gibson's a good-looking rooster.
He is very.
Do you reckon he was riding a horse, ripping a groin?
I know he's got nothing to hide anymore, does he?
Has he lied to the coaching staff about how he missed the Best and Fairest?
Yeah, he does leave a bit of a hole.
Wouldn't struggle in the female department, would he?
There's always
or the
been
male, a, if he's
no,
inclined.
Absolutely not. There's always been a few stories, hasn't there, about blokes, I guess, stretching the truth a little bit and what goes on.
You'd have a couple, surely.
I've got one.
When they're reporting to coaches about things that haven't gone right off field.
Yeah, is that the one that sticks out for me, being, you know, I'm obviously a big cricket man, Jeremy Howe, Matty Wade's cousin. This one you might remember. He reckons he was broke his thumb, I think it was.
That's right.
Playing frisbee with his dog. turns out he's actually playing cricket, which probably makes a little bit more sense than playing frisbee with your dog and breaking your thumb.
You come back injured and you have to tell the coaching staff about what went down. The one that sticks in my mind, remember last year in pre-season at the Pies, Jordan DeGoey. Remember that midfielder? In pre-season, so he comes back and tells Bucks he's got a busted thumb and busted hand as well. And he comes back and tells him that he jammed it in the door. Now, Bucks laughs at him, gives him a $5,000 fine, a 3-match suspension. 'Cause, and obviously he was involved in a Barney at a pub. Ripping story to try and get away. He was just 21. It's like when you come home and you break something and you got to tell your oldies that you're praying the car and you say someone else hit you in the car park.
Great young player, Jordan Ngoi, but it's probably not something you advise Biggles. Now, we're speaking off air. Is there anything you would like to confess? Any instances you've had?
There was a time when Gary Ayres was coach at the Adelaide Footy Club and myself, Rob Shirley and Nathan Bock. We won't repeat this, will we?
No, absolutely not.
We went over to the York Peninsula on a bye weekend and took out the jet ski, launched it at Marion Bay, and we were doing tow-in surfing across Pondy. And Bocky, I'm not the most coordinated of servers. Those two probably go a bit better than what I do. And they towed me in and I absolutely wrecked my ankle.
Oh, no.
So we had to park the jet ski, Shells and Boggy had to carry me up, and Sarge had to carry me up the beach. The ankle was wrecked. This was on a Saturday,
yep.
2 days to get over it, training on Monday afternoon. And Ezzy always loves to flog us when we're back after a weekend off because he knows you've been on the gas.
And you would have just come back and told him. And
Not really.
Not really.
Jet skis aren't in your contract, as you know. Bungee jumping's not either.
No.
I had to come back and had to get through 10 minutes of training to try and pretend that I rolled my ankle in the warm-up. And with a heap of painkillers and anti-inflammatories trying to get through. In the warm-up, I've gone down. Oh! Everyone's looked around. Bocky and Shells are in tears laughing. And I've gone straight into the medical staff.
Yeah.
I reckon Kev Whitford, who's a ripping bloke and one of the legends of the Adelaide Footy Club, knew exactly.
He's
straight through me. You don't do this in a warm-up. Got away with it, luckily, and Ezzy,
he forgave you.
Yeah, he didn't get the Gold Coast job, but he's a good coach.
He's a ripper.
Sure. Didn't the Irishman, Brian Donnelly, do something?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was along the lines of got sunburn on the weekend. We all know footballers love sun. Donnelly's coming to
Irishman.
He's from Irishman, come to the Adelaide Sun. Obviously, he's got a bit more bite, and I think the story goes that he burnt both his feet. literally rolled into training in a wheelchair and couldn't train. So
Sunburn on his feet. Oh, are you kidding me?
Got to be smarter than that.
I remember that bloke. Yeah, he had the strongest Irish accent.
Yep.
And I remember I was asking him, how do you get to Temple Bar in Dublin, which is a really popular area where you go and get hammered and party out with all the Irish. And I said, what's the quickest way to get to Temple Bar from Dublin? And he says to me, are you going by car or are you going by foot? And I said, no, going by car. Yes, that's the quickest. It was so true. That's true.
Good people, the Irishman.
Breakfast this morning was an intriguing chat, Timmy, wasn't it?
It was.
On board, chatting with Alana and also with Ditz. And here's a quick snippet of what happened.
Tex, there's a few things in this. First up, you would be expecting and demanding of your football club to go and get players from other clubs. And you've actually gone and tried to court players from other clubs who are contracted. So not only are you very happy for players to come to your football club, but you're actually happy to go and try to lure somebody out of contract to come to your footy club. So you can't have it both ways.
That's Terry Wallace, of course, not the Taylor Walker himself, but he's just replying to what Tex was saying in regards to Lever Sauce. You heard it?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the situation?
Everyone seems to, I guess, have an opinion on it, don't they? So, you know, as I mentioned before, Tex is obviously a really passionate guy. He's, he loves the club. He's going to be a lifelong Crow. He's just really disappointed to lose, a young quality player like Jake Lever, who, has been fantastic for us in 3 years. And, it is going to, I guess, divide the world, but, I think it's natural for Tex to show his disappointment that Levy's not going to be there.
Stick around with us after the break. We'll have more on that in regards to Terry Wallace. And also, we'll just replay that Taylor Walker grab because it was intriguing about how passionate he is.
It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis filling in Rem Biglands and Crows Ruckman Sam Jacobs. Triple M.
Now, Sauce, you heard Tex this morning. We were just chatting about it, how he's just sort of dealing with the emotions after the game and also with the Jake Lever situation. Here he is chatting to Ditz and Alana this morning and Gleeso.
Tex, there are a lot of rumours flying around that I think we need to put to bed. So in no particular order, let's go back to grand final day. Tim Watson on the boundary. You're coming off at half time and he says on the coverage, they're all fighting, they're all bluing, they're all fighting amongst each other. And then we hear, again, it's a rumour that you go into the change rooms and there was an almighty bust up.
Incorrect.
Totally.
Our footy club, we like to have conversations, and I think it's really healthy that you challenge each other on the field. At no point did I think there was arguing, and I'd be 100% honest, if I thought there was arguing on the field, I'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there was any arguing, and there was not a dust-up.
Okay, now you say so there was no dust-up. Okay, and that's good. You've been accused, again, on the rumour file that goes around Adelaide, that you've had a crack at Lever at halftime. You've had a punch-up, all right. So that's incorrect as well.
Who's been saying that?
No, I'm just, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I want you to put these to bed, but these
that's
are
incorrect.
As recent as last night, I got a text message from a friend saying he and Lever had a big punch up. You need to ask him about it.
I had a phone call about that as well, that I had a punch up because I had my hand in a bandage and had a bit of a black eye.
All right. When Lever announced that he was leaving, did you have a massive crack at him?
No, I didn't have a crack at him. I was pretty honest because I don't like people leaving our footy club. I was honest that if that was the decision that he wanted to make, then. Look, I'm not going to agree with him because I don't like people leaving our footy club, but I don't think I was arrogant, aggressive towards him. I was probably blunt.
So you told him you were disappointed then?
Yeah.
And I know it's a private conversation, but do you want to share any of it? Or
it was pretty much really blunt. He just said that he's decided to leave the footy club, and I said, mate, if that's the decision you want to make, then we're 2 days out from losing grand final. I think our footy club's going in the right direction. And I think it's pretty much him choosing money over success.
Mm-hmm. After the game, again, back in the rooms. So there's Rob Chapman, the chairman. There's you, the captain. There's the coach, Don Pike. Very, very heated discussion that, again,
incorrect.
Got out of hand. So that's another incorrect story.
Jeez, whoever's giving you this information.
And please don't get... I'm not trying to muckrake or when you say, did I get this information... I'll stress, these are stories that if you walk into any bar at the moment, Crows fans are only too quick to tell you, oh, I heard this and I heard that.
Those probably instances that you've said are incorrect, but there's been like discussions that I'd say Pikey's had with the chairman about what went wrong.
Yeah.
I've definitely had a discussion with Pikey about what we thought went wrong. Leaders had a chat about it. You've got to discuss. You can't just sweep it under the carpet.
No, definitely.
A performance like that.
Mm. I would expect heated debate, to be honest, if I'm an outsider looking in.
You'd be disappointed if there wasn't.
Yeah.
But those instances that you have said at halftime, walking off at halftime, at the end of the game, are totally incorrect.
Never happened.
Never happened.
All right. Fantastic. And thanks for answering those questions. The Lever thing is difficult, and I want to put a hypothetical to you. Let's say last year Bryce Gibbs did come from Carlton to your club. I mean, surely we all have to be grown up enough to say this is what happens now in football, don't we?
Yeah, and that's like I was disappointed when Jake rang me, and it probably took me a couple of days to get over because I'm pretty loyal and I'd love everyone to stay. But I think the AFL have generated this, that there'll be a lot of player movement going forward. I think it's going to get worse. But in saying that, we're, as a footy club, we're so lucky to get guys like Tom Lynch, Josh Jenkins, Eddie Betts, Sam Jacobs. So we've been lucky enough to get people into our club, but also people, it's disappointing that we lose players of the calibre of Jake Lever, and I could go on, Nathan Bock and Phil Davis and things like that.
Charlie Cameron at the moment. That must be very disappointing as well.
Yeah, I'm not too sure where that's at. I've obviously been pretty low-key the last week, and I've been away over the weekend, so I haven't touched base as to where that's at.
I guess for me, there's a couple of things to come out of that. The on-field stuff is ridiculous, I think, Biggles. I think, you know, it's come from nowhere. I think as a footy club, we promote blokes challenging each other. You know, we're at halftime of a grand final. Blokes are going to be frustrated. They want to find out what's going wrong so we can fix it going into the third quarter. So for me, that's, you know, I don't know where that's coming from. And the second one is, which is probably a question for you, is with all the player movement that's going on, what's wrong with Tex showing his disappointment at a player leaving?
No doubt. You'd do the same at any workplace.
Absolutely. You know, he's a fantastic player, Jake Lever. He's been great for us for 3 years. You know, we got his full commitment through the season 2017, which as players, that's all we could ask from him. We knew he was committed and he left it right out there and he played a pretty good grand final himself. So for me, listening to that, you know, I can understand Tex being disappointed, but at the same time, he also understands the landscape that it's up to the club now to get it done. And now, you know, once it is, then we'll move on as a footy club and move on from the grand final and also the list changes.
What about the people who are lining up at the moment to have a crack at throwing at the water dunking tank? I mean, Caroline Wilson's written a double-page spread on it. Terry Wallace, of course, we just heard earlier, has had a real go back at Tex. just outlining that, you know, it's the pot calling the kettle black with the players you've poached. Why are there so many pot shots at the moment? Is it just because you are in the grand final, you made the grand final, the performance wasn't up to standard?
Yeah, I think that's probably where it stems from. And I guess, you know, when you do have a disappointing performance like that, naturally you're going to get challenged from the media and all that, which that's all fine. That's all part of it. But, you know, I think at times, it does seem at the moment everyone's having a crack at our footy club and all that. But we'll be all right. We'll work through it. We'll regroup. We've got a really unified footy club. Yes, we're disappointed at losing players, but as mentioned, there is going to be other guys coming in. And Tex also touched on, we've had some fantastic additions, but he's a passionate, loyal guy, and you know, there's nothing wrong with him showing some disappointment. So, you know, it's up to Reedy, the list manager guys, to, I guess, work out the best trade for the Adelaide Footy Club. They've got, you know, 10 days to work out. We've got, you know, the free agency period on at the moment as well. So, as players, we got full belief that, you know, they'll be able to get it done and put us in a better position going forward.
Then add some fuel to the fire. We spoke to Warren Treadray earlier on as well. Choco Williams has come out and said the Adelaide Footy Club is not a real football club. The traditions aren't based around long-standing traditions like Carlton and Port Adelaide. What's your response
to that? I guess our traditions are the SANFL. That's the, you know, we believe, and all South Australians, I'm a proud South Australian as you are as well, Biggles, that the SANFL is the best competition outside the AFL. So that's our heritage. That's where we created. 1991 is when we started. So I guess it's silly to think that, you know, people who come from those big traditional clubs are going to obviously say that, but you know, our culture and our history is being built at the moment, and it's all part of it, and SANFL is the way we began.
No doubt. It's been a big show.
It's been a great show.
Jump on our Twitter feed if you haven't seen Bryce Gibbs doing a fitness test in front of a Fijian local with a Crows Guernsey on. It is just pure gold. Hey, it was great to hear from Cozzy in regards to the big match tonight.
Brilliant, mate. We are really excited for the Australian series. Hopefully they can get it done and keep progressing towards the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Big show tomorrow as well. We'll get the results of that World Cup. Hopefully track down Sloaney as well, see how he's going. I know he's
romancing
the zone somewhere. Good stuff. Get on board at Triple M Adelaide anytime and 1-3-3-5-3 with all your thoughts.
And if you missed the show, you can get on the Catch Up podcast, triplem.com.au.